Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, what is the difference between projects and project-based learning? Have you gotten your ticket yet for the Disruptive Education Conference? I have a special announcement for you. Plus, what are cliches and where did the expression "let the cat out of the bag" come from? All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my class and my wonderful students and teacher friends out there. Welcome to the James Rice Show for this week, Halloween week. And I hope that you all listened to last week's episode and got your Halloween classroom ideas ready for Halloween on Wednesday. I am the author and series creator of the Study It ESL textbooks, available on iBooks or Books, as Apple calls it. And it is fantastic to be with you guys here today. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Android's Stitcher podcast app. Just search for The James Rice Show. Don't forget the. We put the in there so you guys are practicing your articles. And you'll be able to find my show if you type in The James Rice Show. The full episodes are released every Monday. And I am based here in Toronto, Canada. And I'm here with my amazing producer, Stephanie. Hello. She's giving me a wave. And we are broadcasting in over 60 countries. What? What? Stephanie, what are you doing here? Stephanie, what? What are you playing this music for? This is our, usually for our top listener segment. Stephanie, what's up? You are so excited in there. I've never seen Stephanie so excited. Okay, we do not have a new top country, but we do have a new country that has jumped into our top five listeners. And that's why Stephanie is so excited. She wants me to get to our top five listeners right away. All right, okay. Our top five listeners this week, not much changed. Number one was Brazil, obrigada. Number two was the USA. Number three was Vietnam. Yeah, it's nice to see that. Number four was Japan. And jumping into the top five, the country that has gotten Stephanie so excited, New Zealand. Yeah, New Zealand. Why are you so excited here, Stephanie? Have you been to New Zealand? No. Okay. You have a Kiwi boyfriend? No. Okay. Kiwi is the nickname for people from New Zealand. And do you know why they're called Kiwis, by the way? Well, it's a huge story based around a bird, but it has a really cool, rich history. And when the Europeans first arrived in New Zealand, this bird, the kiwi, really caught their eye. And you know what? It's a long story. And you know what? I'll post an article on our episode page. So if you want to know more about the kiwi, you can learn about that on our episode page. Don't forget to check out our episode pages, and they have extra information like what is a kiwi and why are New Zealanders called Kiwis. So I'm really curious why Stephanie is so excited. You know, why is she so excited about New Zealand? What's that? Okay. Oh, you went to Australia. Okay. What? I mean, that is not connected at all, Stephanie. There is no connection there. That's almost insulting to the Kiwis. You know, you can't say that, Stephanie. Kiwis, Australians, I'm not sure that they like each other. Oh, I see. All right, okay. Because they are on the other side of the world, they are down under, they're kind of similar. Okay, I don't know, Kiwis. I don't know. Should we let Stephanie away with that one? Come on, you know, guys. Anyways, I would love to hear from my students in New Zealand and or my teacher friends in New Zealand. Send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. Facebook is www.facebook.com/JamesRiceShow. No, there. And Instagram, connect with James. And, you know, tell us what you think about the James Rice Show and what you think about Stephanie comparing you to the Australians. I can't believe she just did that. That's not good, Stephanie. All right, the big news this week is that I will be appearing in the Disruptive Education Conference in Toronto on Saturday, November 3rd. So if you are in Toronto, you can get tickets. And if you're not in Toronto, that's okay. You can watch the conference online. And there's some more information on the website. Now, I do have an interview with Anesh Daya coming up, one of the organizers of the conference. And he is a true edupreneur with a mobile learning program called On the Spot Language here in Toronto. Let's connect with Anesh. Okay, welcome, Anesh. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, James. Thanks again for having me back on the James Rice Show.
It is fantastic to have Anesh on, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about the Disruptive Education Conference that's being held in Toronto. Anesh, tell us about the conference.
So this Disruptive Education Conference, I feel this has just been a long time coming. With the state of the ELL or the ESL industry in Toronto, I feel there hasn't been any innovation. There hasn't been any collaboration. It's really stagnant, and it's just nobody's doing anything new. And a lot of these students are really walking away from a lot of these programs and schools out there that they're like, I don't know what I learned. And so this conference, you know, when I initially messaged Judy on LinkedIn saying, hey, this is my program, here's what I do. And she's like, I love what you do. My goodness. Are there other people like you out there? I go, well, I think I know a few, and obviously James Rice definitely came to mind.
And that's Judy Thompson.
And that's Judy Thompson from the Thompson Language Center. And you know, she's a TEDx speaker. She's a world-renowned, you know, educator and very well known for, you know, books like English is Stupid that she's put out there years ago. And she's kind of known for really saying it how it is.
And she's going to be speaking at the conference.
She will be one of the keynote speakers at the conference, talking about some of her new books, some disruptive trends she's seen. And I will be doing the same. I'll be talking more about, you know, language coaching in really at the end of the day, giving students exactly what they need to know and how to effectively learn a language with the guide of a language coach and guiding them through the process of how to learn a language. And so I'll be talking a little bit about that, a little bit about my program On the Spot Language and what we've been doing for the last 9 years.
And what Anesh has been doing has been a lot of mobile learning. And it's a true mobile learning ESL program. And I'm very envious of that, because you really kind of nailed the mobile learning in ESL. When people say, well, what's mobile learning in ESL? Well, Anesh has the answers, and he's gonna share the secret sauce with you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about our experiential learning program and how, you know, we've taken students to the streets of Toronto and put people and the students on the spot, and have a good time every day learning English and gaining confidence in real life situations. So, you know, it's innovative ways of teaching and having fun with the language, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I will also be there, ladies and gentlemen, my class. I will be also speaking, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about educational technology. As regular listeners to this show know, I love my ed tech, and I will be talking a little bit about that as well. Now, where can people get tickets?
Okay, so you can get tickets. All you have to do is go to thompsonlanguagecenter.com. And the tickets will be there. They're at a good price. The unfortunate part possibly is we have limited tickets available. So it's a fairly small venue. I think we can only hold about 100 people. So I'd say get your tickets as soon as possible. If you're frustrated with the ESL industry and you really want to hear some innovative people talking about innovative solutions to the current state of English language learning in Toronto and Canada and the world, definitely come and join us. And looking forward to seeing James Rice there in action.
And you can get the tickets. You can watch it in person, live in person, of course, on the day, but also yes, online as well. So if you're not in Toronto, we will be putting it live online on the day as well.
And I believe you can get that link also at thompsonlanguagecenter.com. And join us live from wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, so you have the two options there. Now, I think there's some free swag, free gifts.
Yeah, so I believe Judy Thompson will be giving away a free book that she's just releasing. And so people there will be able to get her new book and possibly a signature from the one and only Judy Thompson. So show up. Absolutely.
And I have a special announcement, Anesh.
Ooh, very exciting.
I will be giving away as well free Study It ESL textbooks that you can download, teachers, onto your iPhone, iPad, MacBooks, and you can start using and experimenting in your class. So, new swag free gift announcement for the Disruptive Conference. The James Rice Show is going to be donating free Study It books for ESL teachers.
I mean, that's worth it just to attend.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, the great thing about, I mean, not only is it award-winning textbook that you guys have created, is it's amazing just because you don't need the internet. I mean, you just load it and you have
it. Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
No Wi-Fi needed.
Right. You can just take it wherever you go, on the bus, TTC bus, the TTC subway, wherever you are. It's great.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's coming up. And the date again is Saturday, November 3rd. What time is it?
I believe we're going to be starting at 9 a.m. It'll go till roughly 3 or 4 o'clock on the Saturday. And then, yeah, on Sunday, we're going to have the hackathon. And that will start, I believe, at 10 a.m. But again, you can get all the details at thompsonlanguagecenter.com. And the hackathon is going to be great because it'll give us a chance to really just digest everything that happened on Saturday and further get one-on-one, get intimate about the world of ESL disruption and really get our hands dirty with it all. It'll be great.
Fantastic. And thank you, Anesh, for your help in organizing this conference. You've been amazing at pushing this forward. And thank you for your continued passion.
Absolutely. And thank you for always for having me on the show and for always just being, you know, out there and supporting innovative English language learning and technology and ed tech and all that great stuff. It's just the James Rice Show is just, it's blowing up and I'm super excited to be part of it all. Thank you so much.
All right, Anesh, thank you. We'll see you on November 3rd.
Okay. See you guys there.
All right, that was Anesh Dhaiya. He is an amazing man. I have known him for many years, and I've seen him grow from a teacher, and he was an amazing teacher, to a fantastic edupreneur, which is an education entrepreneur, an education businessman. And he has done this in Toronto through his program On the Spot Language, and he's really passionate about sharing. And sharing what he knows and learning from you guys what your experiences are. And he's wonderful at that. And I really respect him for that. And I think we need more of that. You know, we need more people like Anesh willing to share their ideas and trying to push forward ESL training and ESL education and just being better at teaching ESL to students. And, you know, you don't have to do everything he does or everything that I suggest or whatever, but you can adapt some of the ideas that Anesh is going to bring, some of the ideas I'm going to bring, Judy Thompson's going to bring, and maybe incorporate some of that stuff into your class to make a better ESL classroom experience for your students. And if you are school administrators out there, you guys got to come and listen to, you know, that groundswell, the people at the bottom here trying to, you know, show you what the future could be in your schools. So that's coming up on Saturday. Don't forget, if you do come and you are in Toronto, you know, the Kiwis are not coming. The Kiwis are still in New Zealand, so they can't come. But hey, if you fly over, we'll definitely help you out. But if you are in Toronto and you're coming into the conference, let me know and introduce yourself to me at the conference. Tell me that you listen to the James Rice Show, and I will make sure you guys get a free Study at ESL textbook. Now, we do have some news before we get into the rest of the show. That it's some important news, I think, for students out there, and that is some changes coming to the U.S. Immigration system. All right. So right now, when you go to the U.S., you get a visa for the duration of your study, especially if you're going to a university, specifically for a university. And they're going to be changing that coming up. And the Department of Homeland has put some of that information out there. And so you do want to check on that a bit. And the administration in the United States, the government, is they're going to be making some changes, some more changes, especially some restrictions on Chinese student visas and H-1B visa programs. So if you are in that, if you're thinking about coming to the United States, you need to check into that. And one thing that you need to be aware of is that any foreign students that are considered unlawful presence, which means they've overstayed their visas, they're going to be banned from entering America. Now, it could be a 5-year ban, it could be a 10-year ban, it depends, but they're going to ban you from entering if you overstay your visa. Now, these are all things that are happening in the U.S., so, you know, if you guys are thinking about traveling to the U.S. next year, you know, you want to keep an eye on the U.S. immigration system, because it is changing. And obviously, Mr. Trump is making those changes happen. And we'll see what happens on that front. So we'll try to keep you informed here on The James Rice Show. All right, coming up next, the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
This week, I wanted to talk to you about cliches, which are kind of idioms or expressions in English, but they've been used so many times that they're no longer interesting and people don't want to hear them and they don't have much meaning anymore. The meaning is gone. Now, we often use the word cliche when we're talking about movies or TV shows. So you will hear movie reviewers say, "Oh my God, that was a cliche." I mean, how many zombie movies do you need to see before, you know, they all kind of become the same? Or a horror movie, you know, you can imagine the cliches. The killer is wearing a mask. He is coming into the room. The music grows louder. There is a teenager in the kitchen. There is a knife on the table. Cliche, cliche. You know, you can see it. You can see it. You can see it like, wow, I know what's going to happen. You know, you can see it. You can imagine it. So we often say, wow, that movie was full of cliches, things that we have seen before. Now, in English, we also have cliches that are overused. So I don't want you to use them. Because people are like, okay, yeah, right, okay, whatever. If you use these expressions, people are going to turn you off. They don't want to listen to you. And if you're doing an IELTS exam, oh God, please don't use these in an IELTS exam, all right, in your speaking test. All right, let me give you some examples. Let me give you some examples of cliches that are overused idioms and expressions. Number one, you only live once. YOLO. Oh, really? Really? Wow. Thanks for telling me that. How many times have we heard YOLO? You only live once. Too many times. Stop using it. It is a cliche. I know. We only live once. We're going to die. We understand. We get it. Another one. What goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. And this one's way overused. I mean, it's like karma. So if you do something bad to someone, then something bad will happen to you. What goes around comes around. Don't use it. Cliche. Cliche. This is another one that is way overused. Don't judge a book by its cover. This means don't judge a person by what they're wearing or what they're saying to you. But you know what? I can judge a person by the way they talk. Some people are not so smart, and some people are really smart, you know? So don't judge a book by its cover. I can see the book when it says dictionary. So you know what? I think it's a dictionary. Cliche. This is a cliche. Don't judge a book by its cover because, you know what? We can do that. It's been overused now. Here's another one. James, good things come to those that wait. When something bad happens to you, there's nothing more frustrating than someone telling you, James, good things will come to those who wait. Especially because it's not true. It's just not true. Nothing good comes by waiting. Nothing good comes by waiting at all. It's just a cliche. It's a cliche. They're trying to make you feel better. It's just a cliche. All right, one more, because I'm getting upset here. I gotta finish this segment, because I'm getting too emotional here. I got to calm down. And this is a new cliche. This is a new cliche. It's fairly recent, in the last, I guess, 15 years or so. And it's so overused. You know, I do a lot of presentations and speak with a lot of business people and teachers. And, you know, Steve Jobs and Apple made this into a cliche with their Think Differently advertising campaign. And now everyone says, we need to think outside the box. Oh, man. Think outside the box, really. Oh, what a cliche. Everyone is thinking outside the box these days. So we must have really a fantastic world if everybody's thinking outside the box. You know what? I am going to think inside the box. And I will judge a book by its cover. And I'm not waiting anymore. And that is the idiom of the week. YOLO.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about project-based learning, especially related to the ESL world. And I think we have an idea, perhaps, when we're talking about project-based learning, what that means for science class, for example, or math class, or biology. You can get an idea of what that might be, or some other those classes. Well, how does it relate to ESL? You know, you see a lot of stuff out there about PBL, which is project-based learning, but what does it mean for the ESL teacher? So let's start first with what is the difference between doing an ESL project and doing project-based learning. All right, so projects can usually be done during the class, so within class time or within a very short period of time, such as 2 to 4 hours. And the project may be related to a specific grammar point or perhaps some vocabulary that you're teaching. For example, create your own country or even create your own little podcast. Okay, that could be a project that you could do in the class. Project-based learning, though, is quite different. And the pedagogy suggests that PBL, project-based learning, comes from the tradition of students learn best by experiencing and solving real-world problems. And that's the challenge, ESL teachers.
That's the goal of project-based learning. Now, some of the essential points about PBL are that students learn knowledge, ESL knowledge, English knowledge, to tackle a realistic problem, as they would do it if it were actually in the real world. So we can build a safe kind of cocoon for them to practice this problem in and solve it in the real world. Also, we give more student control over his or her learning, okay, in PBL. Teachers are coaches or facilitators, all right, of the inquiry, of the reflection that students go through. So, you know, it's a classic, you don't want to be a sage on the stage, all right? You want to be a guide on the side. That's the kind of teacher you want to be in PBL. Now, students usually, but not always, work in pairs or groups. I would suggest that for you, but not always. Not always. Doesn't have to be. There's an argument that you could have them do something individually. And it usually ends, PBL usually ends with a presentation or a creation of something, like a product or a reality TV show. And I've talked about the reality TV show that we've done in, I believe it was episode 42, or it could have been episode 41. And you can actually see the video that we created over several weeks. Now, what does that mean for the ESL class? All right. And what can we do with PBL? Now, I believe PBL learning is the best for upper intermediate and advanced classes. And project-based learning really works well with business English classes, or even, you know, some of those college pathway programs. But that doesn't mean I haven't seen it done in lower classes, or it can't be done in lower classes. I just think, for me, it has always worked better with a little bit more of an advanced student. Now, some of the ESL elements that you must consider when doing a PBL class is, number one, grammar correction does not follow a simple theme, okay? When doing PBL, grammar problems are going to pop up all over the place. And you might help students with the present perfect tense one day, prepositions of place the next day, and relative clauses on the third day. You will jump around based on the problems that each student is having at that moment. And that's where that guide on the side comes in. And the same goes with pronunciation correction. Question forming, all those elements are going to pop up suddenly. And sometimes I only recommend PBL for teachers who have a little more experience and a little more confidence handling all of those questions, because it can go in many directions and it can be quite difficult, and the students' expectations are higher on the teacher. They want a kind of faster answer to their questions, because they're working on something. So you don't have time to work through a big long theme about relative clauses. We're going to work on relative clauses all week. That doesn't happen. You need to answer those questions quickly. And that's why, one of the reasons why it works a little better with advanced and upper intermediate students, who can handle those grammar points that you're going to be explaining. Now, the project, another warning here, the project must be connected with the student's skill level and their interest. All right. Now, this can be the most challenging. Getting students to come up with a project that they are willing to spend time on. That is a challenge. So you got to leave yourself some time at the beginning of this project to sell the students on the idea of PBL and to get them excited about a project. That's a big challenge. Another challenge is that you have a lot of different ways for students to receive feedback. And this is a challenge. You need to set kind of clear benchmarks. You need to create reflective activities like daily journals or collaboration outcomes or anything like that. Feedback can be your biggest challenge. It's not just here, do a project and I will give you feedback at the end. No, you need to be giving constant feedback during the project, because while they're working on the project, that's where you're teaching. That's where you're spending time. It could be a pronunciation issue. It could be a grammar issue. It could be vocabulary explanation. And you need to get students to kind of think on their own and challenge them to think on their own, which, as all your teachers know, can be a big, big challenge. Now, you might be asking, all right, James, well, what kind of projects can I do in the ESL class? Well, it does depend on how much time you have, all right? Is it a semester-based class where you can work on a project over several months, or are you on a one-week or two-week cycle? So time is one of the big considerations when deciding what to do. Now, in the Study It ESL textbooks, and I'm sorry, I know it's a little commercial here for our textbooks, we've done a lot of the heavy lifting for you. So we've come up with a lot of different project-based ideas that you could choose from and run your class around. All right. I've already told you one being a reality TV show, but let me give you another one that we have in our ESL books, and that is to create a sitcom. Yeah, a good old-fashioned sitcom. And you can have students doing various roles, from acting to directing to music, whatever interests them. One activity I loved to do was to break down a sitcom to see how it was written. I did that a lot with the Simpsons early on in my teaching career. It was a great exercise, which helped students to see a structure of a sitcom. So one of the first activities was to break that down into the different structures. So you can do other ideas if you don't have as much time to produce a sitcom, like a public service announcement. And we even did a full theatrical musical, Broadway musical, over the course of 2 months in our school. So it can be done. It's daunting. It seems daunting, but it can be done. Now, in business English, we would have students working on things like creating their own business plans that they would then present, because this is the key. It's not just create a business plan for the class, but they would present to people within the business industry. And they found that very, very valuable. And these plans would have to have all the elements, including projected financial data. And the business industry people that you would have kind of judging these creations would give them real life feedback. And I mean, that was a tremendous project that we worked on, and it really helped them to understand real world problems and dealing with real world business people. So we've done that a couple of times and highly successful, highly, highly successful. And of course, your job as a teacher is to get those business people involved with it. One more I like to do was, it's a little bit of a shorter project-based class, but that was creating and explaining, okay, creating and explaining pranks. Yeah. All the teachers and students hated Prank Week. It was kind of inspired by Jackass and Bad Grandpa, those terrible, terrible movies. You know, you shouldn't be watching them, but you do. This idea, and it was project-based, was usually done over a couple of weeks, so it was shorter. Students would think up a prank, and they would have to create a video to explain the prank, and then they would have to create a video of them doing the prank. And finally, they would put it all together in a presentation and show it to the school. It was a lot of fun. It was a great activity to watch the students overcome those realistic problems that they were facing, especially if the prank was failing. That was a lot of fun. How do you modify it to make it funny? Or sometimes there were technical problems. You know, how do you fix it?
So that was another issue that they had to overcome. Again, kind of real world problems in a safe environment. Those are just some of the project-based learning ideas that I have done in the past. And, commercial again, there are many ideas in the Study It textbooks. And that is Teacher Talk for this week.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Okay, welcome to this week's Did You Know? And in this segment, we try to answer the question, why is English so crazy? Like, why, when the stars are out, are they visible? But when the lights are out, it is dark. Yes. English is crazy. And this week, we're going to take a look at the expression, let the cat out of the bag. Let the cat out of the bag. Now, this expression means that we tell someone's secret, okay? So if I say to you, oh, don't tell anybody that I'm going to the movies tonight with a girl, okay? To my date, I'm going on a date, keep it a secret, don't tell anybody. But then your friend goes and tells everybody, like, hey, James has got a date, he's going on a date. So my friend let the cat out of the bag. He told my secret. So where did this expression come from? Well, it was first introduced in the 16th century. And it came from some farmers who were not very honest. Yeah, they were bad farmers. And what they would do was they would go to the farmer's market where they would be selling pigs or baby pigs, which are called piglets. So they would be selling these pigs. And instead of putting a pig, because pigs were very, very valuable in the 16th century, it was food, good food. So instead of putting a pig in the bag, they would put a cat in the bag and try to sell it. So somebody would, oh, give me one pig, please. Here you go, madam. And they'd hand them a bag with a cat in it. And then, of course, if you'd open up the bag, hey, you're lying. You put a cat in my bag. Oh, who let the cat out of the bag? And the lie was revealed to everybody. Yes. And that is how we got the expression, let the cat out of the bag. And now you know.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
So I want to thank all of you for sending in some of your Facebook messages. I appreciate that. That's awesome. I do read them, so send them through. Renata from Brazil giving me the thumbs up. Much appreciated, Renata. That's awesome. Irma Walter. All right. We had a conversation. She was, sometimes I post a promo for the next week's show. And just a reminder that the shows go out Monday. So Irma was kind of excited, wanted to see it on Sunday. And, I just reminded Irma, thank you for letting me know. And maybe we got to be a little clearer on that. I do appreciate you notifying me. But we do promo it and try to tell you guys, hey, don't forget to listen to Monday's episode. So if you subscribe, on podcasts or the Stitcher app, then you can, you'll be able to get that latest episode when it pops up. And Red Anna, she sent me a nice sticker. Thank you for the dog with the rainbow. That's, excuse me, that's very good. That's awesome. So it's great to hear your messages. And I also had a message from a teacher in Israel where she was saying that she could not download the Study It textbooks. Yeah. There is a limitation to the Study It books in that Apple has the iBook store available for in only 51 countries. So the iBook store is only available in 51 countries. And so some countries, you can't download the Study It books. I know you want to. It's sad, but you just can't. And I think the reason is basically that Apple has to negotiate with the governments regarding the publishing laws, and I'm sure taxes and all of those things that are involved in that. And they did kind of get in trouble a little bit when they first launched the iBook store with some of that some of those taxes and publishing issues. So yeah, it's there's only 51 countries that get the iBook store right now. But still, if you can get an American account or an account that has the iBooks store in it where you can download our books, then that would be great. Apple launched in China. I remember that. I was very excited because China is such a huge market. And then they battled with China and they pulled out of China. So we lost the Chinese market. So it's not available. The books are not available in China. I think some of the books are available on Amazon. The difference is the books do not have the interactivity. They do not have some of those cool activities that we've designed specifically for the iPad and for the iPhone. I hate recommending that. The Amazon books, because if you download them, you might be going, this is not so great, James. We've done better. We can do better. And it's available, through the iBook store. They're really cool. And that's why they've won so many awards. But they're not so cool as a PDF. But if you want to download them, they're cheaper. They're much cheaper. They got the same ideas. So if your teacher's looking for some new ideas and fresh ideas, you could try Amazon. So I apologize. I don't have the name of that person from Israel, but I do remember your email, and I do appreciate that. Let's see. Also, we have I don't know how to pronounce his name, Mournir Sattar, who said, great job, teacher. Thank you. And Carrie Murphy, who loved the explanation on modals and auxiliary verbs that we've got posted on the Facebook page. Thank you, Carrie, for telling us. She liked the explanation. I do. If you haven't seen the modal verb explanation, check that out on our Facebook page, because that's one of my better ones. I got to say, that's one of my better explanations of how modal verbs exist. I mean, if you're a linguistic person, you might be going, you're totally wrong. But if you're an ESL student, you kind of get it, what are modal verbs. And maybe we'll talk about that on another episode. For now, I would like to thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you to our Kiwis. This was like a Kiwi edition, and it's wonderful to have you guys joining the legion of fans around the world tuning into the James Rice Show every week. Thank you, everybody, and have a great week. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to the James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.